is everyone tonight? Everyone good? Beautiful day outside. I believe we broke a record. I think it was 85 or 86 degrees. So, man, grass is growing. Bees are buzzing and the birds are chirping. It's beautiful out there. And it's awesome. So let's stand and sing the song of the Lord. Let's stand and sing number 555, A Child of the King.
My father is rich in houses and lands.
Good to see all of you tonight. Tonight we're going to be participating in a Bible drill. Now we've just got the text is going to come from three different Gospels. We'll begin in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Then we're going to jump back to Matthew 26. And all this is just going to be starting point. Luke 22. Matthew 26, and we'll wrap it up in John 13. So that's Luke 22, Matthew 26, and John 13. It is good to be with you tonight. I pray that you've had a blessed week and a beneficial week, a bountiful week, that God has just, His grace and His mercy, not that they've not been running behind you, but if we're Christians, the Bible tells us that all the days of our lives, grace and mercy are on our trail. And I pray that it's been evident in your life. It has been a beautiful week, hasn't it? It's the weather's been good and just so much to enjoy about His creation that He allows us to have. If you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by the radio tonight, we're glad that you're with us and thankful that you've made the effort to come out to have us on. But if you have any prayer needs tonight, if you would, just send them to us by Facebook, or you can call and leave them on the answer machine, and we'll do our best to pray. And we do want to invite you to come and be with us if you can, if you're willing, in our services, and you'll be our special guest. And if you don't remember anything, remember that Jesus Christ loves you, has done more for you, and is ready to do even more if you're willing to let Him. Again, we'll be in the book of Luke 22, Matthew 26, and John chapter 13. But before we go into our prayer request time and prayer time, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Words of praise or testimony? That's a good VA. That's a good VA hospital. That's one of the best VA hospitals. Thank you, brother. Dave and Danny. Yep, we're praying for them. I try to lift them up at least once a day and believing in their healing. But is he getting along okay since the surgery?
He's in hospital now.
Mm-hmm. Amen, and we're thankful for their wisdom. And that's the Dave and Dan Starnes, right?
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Anyone else tonight? Word of praise? Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Praise the Lord. After being in COVID, it's getting out and being able to move around. Anybody else? There's many things that God's done for me this week and for Thomas Village. We've had a substantial financial gift given to us this week, and I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that Sunday. It's actually coming from multiple places, but we're thankful for that. Also, Amy told me that Mama's moving better in her eyes than she's moved since she's known her. So we're thankful for that. And then my daughter is coming home, so I won't be alone no more this week. She'll be there with me. And there's so much more that he's blessed us with. All right, do we have any prayer needs tonight? We do want to continue to remember Brother Danny and Brother Leonard Roten, lift them up. Number one, we want to pray for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and those that are backslidden. And then we want to continue to pray for the Grebe family, Sister Sally, as she's went home to be with the Lord. Bobby, that's one that has was up here Sunday afternoon. Some of you may have seen him. And then those that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. And then not only them, but the impact that it has on their loved ones as well. And then you think about the caregivers. Continue to lift up Sister Moselle and pray for her. Any other prayer needs tonight?
Miss Meyer's family. Her son Jim is
How old was she?
I'm not sure.
Brother Keith, what was the woman's name that worked with your daughter that passed away? I mean, just out of the blue, had a clot in her carotid artery, and it cut it, and she bled out. She was mid-50s? 49. Kelly? We'll continue to pray for that. Also, I'm hearing of COVID sickness. Anyone in? Larkins? We'll do it. Brother Roy, how's your ear implant doing? But a year ago, you wouldn't have heard me what I said. We give God the praise for that. Amen. Anyone else? And then, was it your brother-in-law, Sister Lynn? Paul? Is that Pat Stapleton? How's he doing? You heard? And we continue to pray for Sister Jessie Bull. She's battling blood pressure issues. Hubbard. Anyone else? They always talking about her today. She's on oxygen and not doing well. Did she pass? I've got them on my, what was the name again? Tammy and who? That's cancer, yeah. That's. Folks, we need to pray for our country because it seems like the powers that be are just pushing for a fight. Need to pray for peace and pray for our Sunday services as we'll be meeting at 6:45 up at Brother Otis's and Sister Lynn's for a sunrise service. If you want to carpool, meet here we'll be leaving here at 6:30. And then 10 o'clock we'll be having our cantata, and then 11 our resurrection celebration. Anything else? All right, well, I do remind you that the altar is open. You're more than welcome to come. And what better place than to come and be found at the altar? But I'm going to ask Brother Keith, will you lead us in a word of prayer tonight over our sick and over the lost, but also that the Holy Spirit guide us in our study? Also, if you get a chance after church tonight, drive by or step back to the back line where the drain is. And if you've noticed, there's a lot of cracks in the asphalt out there. And so we've tried a little something, and just see what you think about it. See if you think it'll work. But it's right there where the drain is, where the new flowers have been put up out there. If you look right there, check that out. All right, tonight I want to talk about Spy Wednesday or Dark Wednesday. If you remember, Sunday was basically the beginning of what is known as the Passion Week. And the idea of a passion is, like the Mel Gibson movie, is that when you're passionate about something, that's where your focus is upon. That's what you're fighting for. That's what your heart is emotionally after. And the salvation of humanity was Christ's passion. His goal was to honor the Father by accomplishing the work that whereby whosoever could come and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so if you, Sunday morning we studied, Palm Sunday. And then every day basically from that point on all the way up to the resurrection, each day has a name. And as you're turning to Luke 22, I'm going to list them off to you a little bit. The first one, like we said, is Palm Sunday. This is Jesus entering triumphantly on a donkey to the city. And then you have Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday. Those are the days where, you remember, he spent times with the apostles, and then he also was at Lazarus's house, and that's where his feet were washed and the expensive oil was poured out on his feet. Then there's Holy Wednesday, which I don't know where that one came from. From my studies, it's either Spy or Dark Wednesday. And then there is Maundy Thursday. Now, does anybody know what that word means? M-A-U-N-D-Y. M-A-U-N-D-Y. It means foot washing. That's what it means. It means time to come together and specifically wash the feet of the poor. And then what is Friday known as? Why is it called Good Friday? Because the sacrifice was made. And then there's Holy Saturday, where basically nothing happened outwardly. And then the last day is what? Resurrection. Amen. Amen. All right, are you in Luke chapter 22? All right, we'll begin in verse 1. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas and called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. Judas consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was around. All right, so we see that this is not the night of the Passover, but this is a few days ahead of time, which it would be Wednesday, according to the way we add it up. And that it kindly just seemed to fall right in the hands of the Sanhedrin. Now, jump back to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Let me get there. And I believe we'll be around verse 1, the beginning of the verse. Or the chapter, excuse me. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the place, or at the palace of the high priest, who was Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now, jump down to verse 14 of Matthew 26. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver Jesus to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Okay, now, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we'll be around verse 25, 26 there. John 13, 26. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now it is the night of the Passover feast. They're in the upper room. And in verse 26, it says, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And he dipped the bread, giving it to Judas, the son, Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the piece of bread, Satan entered into Judas. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do it quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things which we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. But having received the bread, Judas then went immediately out, and it was night. May God add the blessing to his scripture. So what we see is we see the beginning, all during this week, when everything was going on, we see that Judas at some point got in his mind that the right thing for him to do was to sell out Christ. And so then he goes, I mean, it is intentional. He goes and finds the high priest and those that are leading, knowing that they've been out to get Jesus. Because if we read back, there were many times that they sought to lay hands on Jesus. They sought to kill him, but he found a way and to move out of there. And then once he makes a deal with them, now notice it says they begin to look for the time. He was looking for the right place and the right time. And even the high priest said, "We've got to make sure it's not a time where there's a crowd, because if there's a crowd around, they're going to protect him." And then on the night of the Passover, having ate with Christ, having had his feet washed by Christ, he walks out of there and he goes, gets the guards, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that he turns him over with a kiss, kisses him on the cheek. Basically, we talk about Spy Wednesday, or another name being Dark Wednesday, is because there were some dark things going on there. There was wickedness. The last verse we read right there in John chapter 13, verse 4-30, it's not accident that he ended it by saying, once Judas went out, you remember how he describes it, and it was night. There were darkness that was there. There were dark spirits and dark plans that were working. But basically what we see is we see the betrayal of a Savior. And I got to looking up the word betrayal. Listen to what it says, to betray somebody. It means to lead someone astray, to seduce them, to deliver them to the enemy by trickery, to fail or desert. To fail or desert, especially at a crucial point or a major point in time. So tonight, I've got some questions I want us to answer. The first one is this. Where is the origin, or how did Spy Wednesday or Dark Wednesday, how did it come about? Where is the motive for everything that went down there? Listen. It was Judas. That's where it lied. Now, we could say it was the devil and the devil made me do it and all that, but we know that it started with Judas. Now, think about it. There's one or two, maybe three different ideas on why Judas did what he did. Why did Judas go and seek out the enemies of his Savior, the enemy of the one that he's been walking with and learning from and eating with? Why did he do it? Well, you remember Sunday, one of them that I've read here lately is that some believe that it was his desire to see Jesus establish his physical kingdom here on earth, that he felt like, well, he's not doing it. We've been with him for 3 years now, and he just keeps kicking it down the road. You know, he's procrastinating. So maybe if I turn him in, maybe if we back him into a corner, you know, I've seen him give sight to the blind. I've seen him raise the dead. I mean, he's got power. He can take care of these people. And so maybe if I just push him back where there's only one option, that he'll set up his kingdom. And remember, their Passover celebration is like our 4th of July celebration, independence. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I believe that it boils down to what happened on the Monday night. You remember what happened on the Monday night? Where did he have supper at? Where did the apostles and Jesus have a meal? At Lazarus' house. Now, in John chapter 11, we see that Lazarus is raised from the dead. And then in chapter 12, they move on to the next, or a little bit later, and they're eating a supper with Lazarus. Matter of fact, it was so bad, the popularity of Jesus and what he had done with Lazarus, that the Sanhedrin and the chief priests were trying to kill him, wanted to kill Lazarus. But listen, they're eating at the table, and we're thinking about where does betrayal come from? Where does it originally begin? They're eating at the table. They've had something to eat. They're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, I believe it's Mary comes in there. And she's got that expensive oil. I think some calculated it, that it was worth a year's salary during that time. And she takes that oil and she begins to pour it on the feet of Jesus. And she's doing it because she loves him. It wasn't a waste of money to her. It wasn't a waste of time. It was a gift. It was a sacrifice for her. She probably had intended to use it on herself. I need a drink of water. But yet she was motivated to pour it out on his feet. And the Bible teaches us that it was as unto her death, that she didn't recognize it, but the Lord saw it as the perfume that they would put on a dead body. But after being done, Judas chimes in. And listen what he says. He says in John chapter 12, verse 6, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used it. He helped himself to put in or to take out what he wanted. But then Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have, but you will not always have me." So Judas in that moment was corrected by Christ. Basically, he said, "Hey, why are we wasting this money? We need to be giving this money elsewhere. And we need to, she's a wasteful woman." And what does Jesus say? "Leave her alone. Hush up in front of all of his peers." And I believe he got angry in that moment. I believe he got mad. And in his heart at that time, "I'll get you back, Jesus. I'll put you in your place." And from that is where we see that he moves to a place that he sells out Christ. But what is it about Judas, inside of Judas, that took him to that point? It's selfishness. It's sinfulness. He wanted his own way. Just like with Peter, when he professed that you're the Messiah, the anointed Messiah of God, and then what? Just a few verses later, he corrects and rebukes Jesus. The betrayal, the selling out that Judas did, it was from his own desires. James chapter 1 verse 14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own wants." And whatever sin we're going on in our life, whatever it is we're battling against, it comes from a place of selfish sin. That we put ourselves number one. Do you remember the three things that it says over in the book of James that draws us away while we sin? The lust of the flesh, meaning that it makes us feel good. It appeases or satisfies our nature. Or the lust of the eyes. It looks good. I look at it and it's appealing to my desire. And then it is the pride of life. Basically, I'm alive. I'm a human being. There's nobody better than me, so I should have whatever I want. But the origin of betrayal, not only just with Judas here towards Jesus, but any time you've been betrayed or you've betrayed another, it's from our sinful self. Any thoughts about the origin of betrayal? All right, number two. Why is Spy Wednesday, or Dark Wednesday, the day of the betrayal, so crucial to the plan of salvation? Now think about this. What's happening there is going to cause Jesus a lot of problems, right? Ultimately, it's going to cause him to die on the cross. It's hardships, it's difficulties. But why did that come? Listen, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. The reason that trials and hardships came in the life of Christ, the reason that he was sold out by one of the closest ones to him, is because God appointed it unto his life. Now that's hard to take, ain't it? Because if God allowed and appointed hardships, difficulties, and trials to come into the life of Jesus, you know what that means about my life? That he's appointed hardships, difficulties, and trials to come in my life. Now, that's not popular preaching, but it's the reality of it. Remember when Jesus went out into the wilderness after his baptism? Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Listen, and when you think about somebody in the wilderness, you know, it's empty. There's no supplies. It's just you and yourself. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And will somebody look up 1 Peter chapter 4? Ken, will you do 1 Peter chapter 4? Is everybody in Luke chapter 4? All right, somebody read verses 1 and 2 for me. Amen. Now notice, what was Jesus full of? The Holy Spirit. He was right with God. I mean, remember what happened at the baptism? The Spirit descended as a dove, and then the Heavenly Father spoke out and said, this is my boy, and I'm proud of him. So, I mean, he was where he needed to be. He was walking in God's will. But notice, not only was he led into the wilderness, but who led him into the wilderness? The devil? The Holy Spirit? It wasn't his flesh. And so we see that the trials of life, the difficulties of life, number one, are not because we're out of God's will, right? It's not punishment. It's not that God's angry with us. But number two, that God, even when we're right where we need to be, God allows and appoints hardships to come into our life. Are you there at 1 Peter? We read from verse 12 to verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4. Mm-hmm.
Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad. When his glory is revealed, if you are insulted, and for the name of Christ you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory, and of God rest upon you. None of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. Mm-hmm. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteousness of the scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and of the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will trust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing good.
Don't be surprised. I'm going to put it in my vernacular. Don't be surprised when trials come into your life as if there's something strange. Matter of fact, he says, it's God who's called you to suffer just like Christ has suffered. And if there's two ways or two reasons we will suffer. One is because we're evil, we're wicked, and that brings hardships. Or we're going to do it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we've got to carry our cross, and the cross is about sacrifice and sufferings. So we see that while the betrayal is from the wickedness of man, the sinful nature and selfish nature that we have, at the same time, if we're betrayed, and most of us have been, that we're to see that it is God's will for our life in that moment. Now, I'm not saying like it. I'm not saying pray for more of it. But we should, really and truly, as we mature in the Lord, we're to recognize it as the fact that God could have allowed anybody to go through this. He could have appointed any person to do this, but because He's found me worthy, because He's got a plan and a purpose in my life, He's allowing me to go through this, not for my own sake, which He does use it to grow us, but for the glory of His kingdom. You remember we talked about Peter when Peter went to the cross and he was going to die. Remember what he told him? He said, no, turn me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like Jesus. And so he had taken his very death, and he was going to use it and was basically embracing it for the glory of the Lord. Any thoughts about the crucial, why it was so crucial? Because it was God's will. It was God's plan. And just like Peter, remember when Jesus told Peter that, hey, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to have to suffer, I'm going to have to be beaten and ultimately die. What did Peter say? No, God forbid, we don't want that. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And then when Jesus said, you're thinking like the devil. Your mind is on that of this world and not of the Father. All right, so now I want to get a little bit personal. How many of you in here have ever been betrayed? Anybody willing to speak about it? I mean, you don't have to call a name or tell the situation, but was it a close friend, a family member? Have you recovered from it? Have you got past it? Or is there still some scar tissue there? Still dealing with some issues? It's hard, isn't it? How long did it take you, if you are over it, being betrayed? Anybody over it? Raise your hand. How long did it take? Oh, amen.
You always know there's a possibility it can happen again. And so the relationship is never as close as it had been.
Mm-hmm. With me, like you're saying, it's been 15 years. And I've got to the point that the Spirit has allowed me to forgive and to just let God have it. But there are days when I wake up or it goes through it, that I have to ask God to give me the right attitude, because that resentment, that anger will come back, because we can't forget. You know, what is helping you get over it? Is there any specific thing that you're doing? Are you trying to get over it? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a wise person told me, said, write this person a letter.
That's what I did.
Don't send it. Write.
I sent it.
The whole notebook. But that helped me so much.
It did.
Because I thought, it's not hurting that other person. It's hurting me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a poison. It's a poison. I read in another book about writing it down, but then once you're done with it, get you a lighter, go outside and burn it.
Yeah.
And as that fire consumes it, then the hurt, the pain, you claim that it's being consumed as well by the fire of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. here's what I've noticed about myself, is that there's times when I'm hurt, somebody does me wrong, somebody trespasses against me, that for a while I don't even want to forgive them. And I know that I'm supposed to forgive them, but I'll say something like this, well, it's not even in me to want to forgive them. But again, I can't go by my feelings, right? I am commanded. It says that if I don't forgive, then I'm not forgiven, nor will I be forgiven. And I believe that there's Christians today that feel like we have the right to hold on to that hurt. We have the right to hold on to that anger. But if we're professing Christians, but yet that's what we're living by, that I have the right to hold on to it, how can we know we're saved? I mean, again, I'm not saying that you're going to want to forgive. I'm not saying that you're going to, but you got to start somewhere, and you got to be like, okay, Scripture tells me that's what I'm supposed to do, right? So, Lord, you're going to have to give me the desire to do it. That's where forgiveness has to begin. Lord Jesus, I'm angry. I'm hurt. I didn't deserve what they've done to me. I've tried to love them. I've tried to do everything I can for them. And I am mad. And I feel like I have the right to be mad. But you tell me to forgive. And I want to do what your will is. So God, if it's even going to happen, you're going to have to start it in me. And that's where it begins. And asking God to let me be what you want me to be. Not what I know I am, but what you want me to be. If there's any advice you could give somebody about getting over being betrayed, what would it be? Amen. Amen. And that's what Scripture says. Matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says that we're to forgive our enemies for His name's sake. Not because they deserve it, not because we want to, but for His name's sake. All right, the next one. How did the events of Dark Wednesday, all that we see going on, that he's upset, he's got caught up in his feelings, that's what's motivating him. He runs and he seeks out the murderers, and he makes a plan. How did that affect Jesus' life? Now think about it two ways. One, think about it from an earthly view. That would be negative. How was his life affected negatively by what Judas has done? But one is, he's got a bounty on his head. He's got a prize on his head now. And basically, too, you know, as human beings, our whole thing is, I can't die. You know what I mean? I gotta keep on. That's the drive of life. And then he's going to have that physical pain, right? He's going to be humiliated. I mean, such negativity. But then, are there any positives about it? Is there anything good about Judas going and selling out Christ? What does Scripture say? It has to happen this way. He said, remember that Scripture we read earlier? He said, when you see, don't let false teachers pull you away, because they're going to pull many away. And you're going to hear rumors of wars, and you're going to hear of famine and all that. But don't let your heart be troubled, because these things have to happen. Can I tell you what I'm seeing going on in the globe right now? Scares me bad. I mean, did y'all hear about the law that they tried to pass in Israel last week? That if you mention the name of Jesus in Israel, you'll be locked up. If you try to tell somebody or win somebody to the Lord, you'll be locked up. I mean, man. And then you've got everything else going on. You've got verge of World War III and all that's going on there. You've got our politicians that are just as crooked as they can be. And any time you try to get a little bit of hope, the next thing you know, there's a shooting here or there's a murder there and all that. And it's no fun. But it's got to happen. It has to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, then Jesus ain't coming back. If it doesn't happen, we're not going to see and be with Him eternally. These are the dominoes falling. And so, again, we see that dichotomy. Well, praise God, the prophecies are being fulfilled, but man, it sure ain't fun being alive here. And so, as we, and again, that's why we have to not think like we want to think, not go by our emotions, but we go by the truth and by what the Lord tells us. All right, and then the next one. What can we learn? What can we learn from Dark Wednesday? What can we learn about betrayal in the relationship of Christ and Judas? The first one is, you'd be thinking, betrayal always comes from someone close. You can't be betrayed by someone you hate. You can't be betrayed by someone you don't know. Betrayal happens because someone close to us does not meet the expectations we have on them. Right? And betrayal, we usually don't see it coming. It's like one of those slaps with a blindfold on. So listen what I never had read these verses, but the relationship and the betrayal of Judas is prophesied in the Old Testament. Listen to Psalms 41, verses 9 through 10. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. You hear that? I ate with him. I put confidence in him. I mean, and not only did he let down Jesus, not only did he betray Jesus, he betrayed the apostles. Right? They trusted him to let him tote the money bag. And think about it. Jesus' popularity was blowing up right now. And so he was one that was seen with Jesus, that worked with Jesus. And so the early church there, he betrayed them as well. Listen at Psalms 55, beginning with verse 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it someone who hates me, who exalting themselves against me, then I could hide from them. But it is you. And you walked. You're my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked in the house of God. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings. You see? I've loved you. I've invested in you. I've tried to treat you as good as I've treated anybody else. But yet, you're the one that's robbed me of my joy. You're the one that has hurt me like nobody else has ever hurt me. You're the one that has brought me to where I am right now. He walked with Jesus. He saw what Jesus could do. He saw the power and how that there was something about Jesus that he had never seen before. But yet, he was the one that just said, I got to have it my way. I'm going to make sure I get what I want from this. And so, we have to get to a place that we understand that we're going to be hurt by people we put confidence in. Remember, don't think it as a strange thing. Now, I'm not saying look for it, but it's a part of life. It's what it is. And then when it happens, we can either be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Or we can be like, hey, who have I done it to? You see, and this is what is spiritual maturity. You see, that we grow to a place that we're not like the rest of the world. This is what's lacking in American church right now. Because we can't get past the elemental things I'm not saying we have to accept it, but we, or like it, but we have to accept it, and we have to be willing to grow on from it. Or we'll stay in that shallow end of the pool. We'll never get up to another place. We'll never move past than where we're comfortable. Notice something else. Betrayal is a sin. Amen? And we sin when we're tempted to sin. Judas did it because he wanted his way. Instead of wanting Jesus to be lifted up, he wanted himself to get what he wanted. Temptation is a powerful thing. And it will bring down the most spirit-filled Christian. But by the grace of God, there go I. When we see somebody fall, when we see somebody sin, and it doesn't matter what it is, we could be in that by the afternoon or have done worse. It's temptation. Think about the people that it's pulled down. And I mean, not just the biblical, but look at the men of God and women of God that were on high places. And we see they fall. And it's all because of the pull of the flesh, the pull of our own hearts and minds. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Do you remember what Simon Peter told Jesus the night of his arrest? "I ain't going nowhere. Well, I'll never leave you. Matter of fact, I'll die with you. I'll die with you." But not only him, but listen to what it says over in Matthew 26, verse 35. Peter said to Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And listen, and all the disciples said the same thing. Every one of them said, "I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right by your side, man. I love you." And they did. They did love Jesus. But what happened? When everything got to going on, the temptation said what? Run. Run. But here's what's awesome. Even though the temptation may get us, and it may make us forsake our commitment to Christ, never, never did Jesus forsake his commitment to those men. Matter of fact, when he was able, he went and found them and made sure, "Hey, you know, I want you to know something. You failed. You've fallen. But I want to establish you back. I want you to be where you're supposed to be." And that goes all the way back to Abraham. You remember when they entered into the covenant? What did God do? God caused Abraham to go to sleep. And he walked through that commitment ceremony all by himself. Why? Because he said, "I'm going to make sure that both of our promises are fulfilled." And that's what Christ has done to us. It doesn't matter who we've hurt, how we may have been hurt. It doesn't matter what sins in our life. As long if we're willing to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? Lots of times, he uses that to grow us, knock us down a little bit, take us to a deeper relationship with him. And then the last thing I think that we can learn, and I want to ask you, remember, I want you to tell me what you see in here that we can learn from this betrayal, is that when we're betrayed, when we're hurt, when we're wronged, we must forgive them. Think about this. When they went into that upper room that night, Judas had already signed his death warrant for Christ, didn't he? I mean, it was just okay. He got into that upper room. He got to hearing the plans, you know, that probably after we eat here, we're probably going to go up to the mountain and we're going to have a little bit of time in prayer. And when he found that out, I bet he couldn't wait, don't you? I bet he couldn't wait to get up from there and to go find the Sanhedrin, because that's what he was looking for, right? He was looking for that just the right moment to go sell him out. But before he could get out of that room, Jesus went over to him and he grabbed his feet and he began to wash the dust off his feet. And then he poured water on his feet to get all of the muddy, murky mess that was on there. And then he took his own garment and he washed his feet and dried his feet. You know what Jesus was saying right there? It's not too late. It's not too late. I'll forgive you. But he didn't want it. And the Bible says that we're to be Christ-like. Amen? If God told you to wash the person's feet that hurt you, would you? Don't answer it because somebody would say, no, and I, you know. But you know, are we willing to bless those that despitefully use us? Are we willing to say, I'm not going to go by what I feel. I'm not going to go by maybe even what I'm owed, right? You know, when there's forgiveness, if you're trespassed against, somebody's always got to pay the price. Somebody has to pay the price, right? Think about it. If somebody drives into your house and they bust up your place, right? Either they're going to pay the price, they're going to pay for that, or either you're going to pay for that. And when somebody trespasses against us, when they do us wrong, they brought damage into our lives, right? Just like our sins did Christ. It brought damage into his life. But he was willing to pay the price. And that's a part of it. Sometimes we have to eat it. Sometimes we've got to be willing to say, okay. But isn't that what Jesus has done for us every time? He eats it. And you're like, man, Brian, why are you preaching like that tonight? It's the resurrection season, and we're going to celebrate Sunday, man. Lady. We're gonna gather, and not only, we've already got the victory. We know that when he rode in triumphantly, right? But we're going to celebrate the fact that, praise God, it's not about what I did. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what he's done. It's about his blood. It's about his resurrection. It's all about him. And I think that this preparation, you know, we've been trying to prepare for the celebration. I think that's a part of worshiping in spirit and in truth. Lord, right now, to the best of my knowledge, I've confessed all my sins. Lord, right now, I've done my best to make it right with those that are around me, those that I may disagree with. Lord, I've done my best. And so right now, Lord, I do all that I can to present to you my offering, my praise, my love, my worship in sincerity. Because we'll never be perfect until glory, right? But it's the heart that Christ looks on. And as our sister brought up, lots of times the person that you're holding that resentment for that's wronged you, they don't give a rip anymore. They've got what they wanted, and that's all that mattered. But yet, we're poisoned by the resentment. We're poisoned by the hate. And Jesus says, give it to me. Give it to me. And if you have to give it to him 100 times, give it over to him. Like I said, I've made the commitment to forgive years ago. But the daily application of forgiveness, some days I do, some days I don't. It just depends. But thank God, I think I'm getting to be more days that I do than I don't. And that's the goal, to get closer to him every day. Any thoughts on betrayal on dark Wednesday? What's old saying? It's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Again, if you want to go to sunrise service, 6:45 or 6:30 here if you want a carpool, and tell somebody. All right. Any thoughts before we close? Brother John Franklin, would you close us out in prayer?